I mean, I'm in a very transitional part of my life.
Called expansion. Hi. I would call it expansion part of your life.
Expansion. And I like that. I think that's like kind of the mindset shift I need. I closed my business of 13 years last at the end of December.
Yeah. What kind of business?
I owned a hair salon
All right.
and we were nationally recognized, award-winning. I also started a nonprofit where we bring haircuts into the community.
That's super
Yeah,
cool.
so
That makes a difference, by the way.
it's
Like you said,
honestly
you're
for
from.
me, like hair was just like a vessel to connect with people. I didn't
Yeah.
love doing hair, but I saw it as a way to be able to show value and create spaces of belonging. And I mean, a lot of the things that you do, which is why I was like so
Yeah.
inspired by you. So yeah, so it's business closed. Just a lot of repercussions from COVID, and the only way I keep my doors open is to compromise the values that I put the business on.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't do it. I'm like, that's not the business I want to run. So,
Did you do haircuts at people's houses to supplement income?
yep, I did that. I did that. I'm still doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am navigating and potentially going a more corporate route and going more into the education in the hair industry. And I've done that before. But it's just been an identity crisis. However, I do still have my nonprofit that, in my perfect world, and like this is something that I know will happen someday, but that will grow to a point where that can be my full-time thing because I want to bring it to other states.
Yeah.
Because it was something that started out just with me putting one of my rent chairs in the back of my car, driving around offering haircuts to people who were asking for help. And then the news picked it up, and then more news picked it up, and then it went viral. And that's when I decided to turn it into a 501c3 because I just
Yeah.
realized people involved. So I know there's a need and desire there, but I think my salon took so much of my energy
Did
that
you do content around that at all?
I mean, I have an Instagram and I have like all like the news spots and
Yeah.
that kind of thing. I've definitely, since my salon closed, I definitely sunk into low spot of just uncertainty, and my relationship of 5 years ended right around that same time. It was just like, I'm like, what is God or the universe trying to show me right now?
Yeah.
Everything's getting stripped away. I was incredibly successful, and then all of a sudden just
So
nope.
what I asked myself in those periods, seasons of my life, and it's interesting because, there are minutes and moments in those seasons now. The seasons don't last as long. They're still there. Is, how is God protecting me? Or how is God promoting me? Or how is he loving me? Even though the evidence doesn't feel like it. But I know, like when you, I could feel it when you said you closed the salon and your relationship ended, that you were being protected and promoted, and that you were being limited by your business and limited by your relationship. And there's something bigger.
And it's hard when you're in it to see it
It's
that way.
impossible.
And
First of all, nobody likes feedback in the present.
no,
And it's feedback.
even if people, I mean, people were telling me to close my business for 5 years. And I was like, no, I'm going to figure it out. I'm going to figure it out because it's all I've really known as an adult.
Yeah.
And so there's fear in the unknown. And I'm like, but I was successful here. What if I'm never successful again? Like, what if that was like
Oh,
my
I've
one
been there.
shot? But I've joined Stefan's thought leaders group.
Oh, cool.
And that has actually been helping me shift my perspective a lot and hearing a lot of people's own moments of like
Seasons.
seasons and just being like, okay, I'm not alone. And these people are all doing remarkable things. And so there's going to be opportunities for me. And that's where, like, I mean, things like this, I'm like, oh, there's no such thing as a bad connection. And as I'm in this time and season of searching and just trying to kind of figure out
Yeah.
what's next, I'm like, I just want to talk to as many people as possible and kind of get inspired by their seasons as well. Things don't ever stay great forever or stay horrible forever. And
Yeah. And
there's
I have all, like, my philosophy is everything is great. I just have to figure out how.
yeah,
And
absolutely.
when I was in sales, I worked here in Eagan, Minnesota for West Publishing.
Wait, I don't know if I realized that. So you
Yeah.
lived in Minnesota.
Well, sort of, right? Because I traveled.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. But our headquarters were here,
Okay.
and I spent a lot of time in Eagan. And then when Warren played football here, we spent a lot of time here, just, even doing appearances after he retired,
Yep.
you know, got to even meet Prince one time in his house.
Amazing.
It was super cool. But it's so interesting because I started to see things just, okay, it is promoting. And like, I'm okay not knowing how the hell this awful thing is making me better. But one of the things that helped me was understanding pain. So is that guy right there, Nick? Is that guy?
I don't recognize.
Kind of looks like you.
Okay.
I try to get eye contact.
Yeah.
So pain, I evolved, you know, like to understand pain. Then I went to pain's an indicator. Like it's indicating where I'm supposed to be. But I took it to like even a higher level that pain's simply just a communication. So when my back hurts, pain is telling me that you got to fix your back or heal. So when you have pain in your business, you have to heal your professional life. When you have pain in your relationship, you heal your relationship. And all of the healing is inside. It wasn't the business you needed to heal. It wasn't the person you were in a relationship. You need to heal yourself, no? He wasn't, but you invited him. I love that.
I love that too.
The dude in the green, you know, he was eyeballing. He goes, I've seen him before. And I go, yeah, this is what we do, et cetera. And he goes, that's him.
That's cool.
Yeah, please.
That's cool. Yeah, make my day.
I really appreciate that insight a lot.
And it's just a practice, right? Yeah. Bring your drink, coming over.
Man, you look familiar. That's why I looked over.
Thank you.
So,
Parker, nice to meet you. Probably on Instagram or somewhere, right? LinkedIn.
Yeah, maybe on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I do a lot on LinkedIn.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. Here is one of my books, too, while you're here.
Are you sure? I don't.
No, this is a meetup. So
this is all for free.
Yeah, so, you know, just to give you a little background, since you blessed us coming over. So I travel 200 cities a year and speaking here in Minnesota tonight at a dinner. But every city I go to, I volunteer to meet with people to help them. And, you know, different cities, different amount of people, depending on the time. And I'm just literally answer questions. And I've done it for years. I was saying I've never been shut out. So it's cool. But they vary in size, but I literally just answer questions, make introductions, you know, and it's great content as well, because I create a lot of content, because in 200 cities, you learn what people are listening for. And even though from Spain to Greece to London to New York to Missouri to North Dakota, I'm blessed. I'm the chairman of Napoleon Hill Institute. I mean, you ever read Think and Grow Rich or Outwitting the Devil, or Napoleon Hill wrote these great old in the 30s.
Yeah.
So, but his whole thing is Carnegie paid him to travel around and interview the 100 most successful people on earth. And he wrote this book called Think and Grow Rich, which was an aggregate of how the richest people on earth think.
Yeah.
And he wrote What the Mind Can Conceive, Man Can Achieve. That's Napoleon Hill. So I'm the opposite. Like, no one's paying me to go around, but in essence they are, because I speak, but you know, I get to hear what everyone's listening to. So they're almost interviewing me,
yeah.
But I'm learning. And then I do research on it, which is how I write my books and create content.
So can I ask you some questions?
Please. Yeah, that's why we're here.
Okay.
I would love for you to ask me a question.
What are your three keys to success?
Yeah. So number one is knowing your values. So for me, most people don't know their values. So they don't have a framework to make decisions. Character is built, but most character is revealed. And it's revealed most of the time in the most difficult times. Pressure builds a diamond. Pressure also, you squeeze a lemon, what's inside of you comes out. Just you squeeze a lemon, lemon juice comes out. When you're squeezed, character is revealed. So the more you know your own values. And so I train people on values to know, okay, no matter what, I'm grateful. That's one of my values. So no matter what happens to me, whatever season I'm in, I'm looking for the light, the love, and the lesson in it, because I'm grateful, which gives me this practice that is proven throughout history to be the strongest practice to change your life, which is to be grateful. Forgiveness. It was a value of mine that came later on in life, of how important and easy. See, forgiveness provides ease. And when you can forgive yourself, you can forgive others. So I'm looking at these values all the time. The second thing is the daily practices. People don't know their daily practices. I'm a student of practice. For me, I know what I want every day, who I can help, who can help me, how to get it done, and knowing my now and knowing my next, prioritizing what's important to me through both non-negotiable behavior and negotiable behavior. So this is what I train mostly on, are how to build the right behaviors. And so I categorize my behaviors. People say, oh my God, you're so busy. I'm not busy, I'm just active, man. Look, you want to be busy? Go to your mom's house, get super high every day, and sit there broke and sick on your mom's couch every day. That's a busy person. You can't get them to do shit.
Right.
I'm someone that gets shit done, yeah. Right? And I'm very active. And so I know my what, my who, my how, and my now. And then I apply my why all day long. And so knowing your values combined with daily practices. And then the third is actually have an execution plan. Nothing happens until it moves, till you take action. There's so many people that know their values. They're very disciplined. And you'll see this in pharmaceutical sales all the time. Super disciplined sales guy. So busy being disciplined, they forget to make money. So busy being disciplined, they forget to take care of their health. So busy being disciplined, they forget to have relationships that are substantial and important. That's discipline. What I teach people is to know your values, know and practice your practices with non-negotiable, which means no matter what the circumstances are, this is how much sleep I'm going to get, my health, my family, my finance, my faith. I study time and relativity aligned with my divine direction. Categorizing things as either what? Aligned with where I want to be, or interfering with where I want to be. So I'll meet someone in my latest book. Dick, you got one of my latest books? So this was inspired by that, because this is my latest book.
You've been saying that for a long time.
Yeah, because I just started to realize no matter what's happening in my life, I meet someone, I'm like, this person's aligned with where I want to be, or they're interfering. This event is aligned, the circumstances, the interest rates, whatever it is, it's either aligned or it's not. And if it's not, I do my best to shorten the distance or resistance that it creates in my life. Hey. Hi, sweetie.
Hi,
Annalise. Good. Hi. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Right on. I thought when there's good weather in Minnesota is a detriment to people coming to meet me.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you as well.
Just gotta get out.
It's a cool name.
Thank you.
Yeah, so those are the three things that I would start with. Know your values, know your daily practices, and know the execution of those daily practices. Know what you want, who you can help, how to get it done. Prioritize accordingly. And so 90% of my success is actually effectuated by my non-negotiable behavior. If all I did is spend half of my day sleeping, an hour with my family, an hour with my health, a minimum of time on my faith, studying time and relativity, I would achieve 90% of what I've already achieved. The 10% comes from circumstantial behavior. I'm making guesses according to the interest rates, the weather,
yeah.
You know, the arguments, all. And that's the majority of my wake time. Remember, non-negotiable includes my sleep. So 90% of my success is about 4 hours of awake time, 8 hours of sleep time, which I have a sleep, I takes my sleep serious,
yeah.
Right? It's an activity I take extremely seriously. And I'll tell you why most people don't succeed is because they don't know the power of sleep. So performance is directly related to what in all human beings? Recovery. It's relative to recovery more than anything else. So if we're in a subject or a topic or an expertise and your capability is 100% and mine's 50%, so you're twice as good as me, but I'm recovering at 100% and you're recovering at 50%, we'll be equal performance. It's actually the thing that puts me above everyone else is 8 hours of my day, I'm non-negotiable on my sleep. Then all the other 4 hours of wake time, that means I have 12 hours every other day to do whatever I want that's going to impact only 10% of my success. 90% of my success, you know, twice in my life, made over $100 million. I have amazing kids, amazing marriage. I'm extremely healthy. And I've worked on that. Like, I was this guy in Arizona, Optimal Health System. When I started working with him, he takes my blood every 3 months. He has my blood from when I started with him to now. And he'll ask the doc, he works with doctors mainly. He was the formulator for the NBA is how I met him. So he formulated all the legal supplements for NBA players. And so he figured out organic formula to make you healthy. Anyway, he puts my blood up and they say, how old is this guy? And by my blood. And this is when I started. And they're like, 60. You know, most doctors are like somewhere between, you know, 55 and 65. Now they show my blood. Every doctor says somewhere between 20 and 30.
Oh my God.
That's my blood. And my energy level, I've always had high energy. So now, you know, I have all these famous guys, athletes, current athletes who, you know, will shadow me. UFC champions, NBA all-stars, and they'll ask if they can shadow me for a day to learn about business. But what they're really learning about is energy. And so by 3 o'clock, usually, because I make them meet me at 4 a.m. when I wake up, and we do like a workout and meditation, just different things I do. But by 3 o'clock, they're all exhausted. And, you know, I'll use, you know, Dwayne Wade, for example, much better shape than me, taller, stronger, faster, no doubt younger.
You're better looking.
That's what he says. that's what my wife thinks. Only one that matters. Anyway, at the end of the day, he's like, dude, how do you have so much energy? I'm exhausted. I said, because you and I have the exact same amount of energy. Your body can utilize the energy better than me, which is why if we limit it to 60 minutes on a basketball court, we're not even in the same league. Nobody would say, oh my God, Dave Meltzer has more energy than Dwayne Wade on the basketball court. But in the day, we have equal amount of energy, even though your body can utilize that in the short term. Most of your day, you're interfering with the energy, and I'm not. I heard you on with your agent, on that business deal, with your girlfriend. All you did was interfere with the energy, which is what? Giving you less energy. So by the end of the day, you're starving, even though your body could handle more, yeah, and mine could handle less, I have more. And so, you know, understanding this shifts in a paradigm, whatever it is that you think you want, it's already there. You just need to figure out what you're doing to interfere with it, not how am I going to go get it. Happiness, health, wealth, worthiness, it's already there. I start every day. I drink it in because, you know, we're 80% water. So every sip I take in my mind, I'm saying, I'm happy, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm worthy. What am I doing to interfere with it? And that energy is going into my body. I'm programming me through water, liquid. It's carrying the message, the information. And so that's the construct of what we do.
Can I ask another question?
Sure, please. This shit doesn't work unless you ask questions.
So
somebody wasn't asking. Somebody wasn't asking questions before you got here. So. Kevin, it takes him a while to get one. So he'll come up.
Asked in like social media to other successful people like yourself.
Yeah.
What's considered like fuck you money? Like you have enough money to do like, you know what?
Yeah. My definition's a little bit different. So Yeah, that's okay. I get fuck you money. Fuck you money is the ability to do what you want, when you want, with who you want for as long as you want.
So what is,
and I have.
So I didn't
that ability.
So
now,
I guess I didn't ask that right. You did find it. What is that number would you say?
It depends on who you are. So if you've read like Rich Dad, Poor Dad, yeah, so I do a lot of work with Sharon Lecter, who's in Arizona.
Yeah.
Kiyosaki's in Arizona. So they would say the amount is when your assets create income that is more than your expenses. Then you have fuck you money. That's the number. That's what they say. Because think about it. If your expenses, you're just the type of person whose expenses are $100,000 a year and your assets create $200,000 a year, then $200,000 a year is fuck you money. Because you can do what you want, when you want, with who you want, for as long as you want, because that's who you are.
Yeah.
Now, I've been worth over $100 million twice in my life. the first time around, I wouldn't have told you $100 million was fuck you money. I wasn't, would not have. Because I always was asking myself, I'd be happy when I make a 200 or
four. Striving for more, always.
Yeah, always. In the world of not enough. No matter how much I had. Now, you know, I would have told you before I got to where I am today, oh, I got way more than enough. I got fuck you money. I do what I want, when I want, with who I want, for as long as I want.
That's awesome. Now, to lead that off of that question, can you elaborate on how your for the sake of what integrates into that case perception of what is?
Yeah, so the big paradigm shift, what Nick's mentioning, is I live so much of my life, I'll be happy when. Happy when I get married. Happy when I have kids. I'll be happy when I have my first house. When I buy my mom a house, I'll be happy when I buy her a car. I'll be happy when I own my first Ferrari. And I never was happy. And the analogy that I was told is I was constantly trying to fill a God-sized hole with everything but God. And that's I'll be happy when. But the minute I started to say, for the sake of what am I doing this? For the sake of what am I making a lot of money? Well, I know what for the sake is, for the sake of helping other people and having fun. That's the only reason I'm making money. I want to make a shitload of money for the sake of helping others and having fun. Doing what? And what do I think is fun? Doing what I want, when I want, with who I want, for as long as I want.
When you say happiness, like happiness versus contentment, how does that?
Yeah, a lot of people get caught up in joy, contentment, or happiness. And I've had some people that aren't very happy get into arguments about what, you know, I shouldn't say happiness or joy. Right? I know you're not angry, but I think it's funny. I'm like, dude, you're like, you're not happy over fighting about happiness, joy, or contentment. But I can see a differentiator. So happy, a lot of people would say, was temporary. Joy is the ability to enjoy an activity. And I find that one of the secrets to contentment, which is ease, these are my definitions and the differentiator that I see. But one of the most interesting things is to be able to enjoy the consistent every day, which is counter to human nature, to enjoy consistency. People hate repetitiveness and honesty. That's why, like, I'm known as a very good business coach, life coach, mentor, but I'm also in a parent. Like, I'm known for that because I'm annoying, because I tell the truth and I'm repetitive. And nobody likes it, including my wife.